Warning: graphic content. Array of Hope at Kibbutz Neir Oz, scene of October 7th massacre. By Joel B. Polak on November 21, 2023. Neir Oz, Israel, a ray of light shines through the empty window, the dust and ash glittering in the abeam of winter sunshine. This was once the home of an Israeli family, the Shalev family. David Shalev and his son, Tal, were murdered here. The mother, Braca, survived. She happened to be on holiday in Egypt. The home is a ruin. It was set on fire, like several others on this small community of 400 residents, when the terrorists cut the gas pipes and ignited the fuel still flowing. Almost nothing is left, or recognizable. The roof is twisted and collapsed, shingles lay shattered on the floor, steel beams are twisted from the heat. And yet, through the dust kicked up by a group of visiting journalists, there is that ray of light, a tiny bit of hope that persists. Nearby stands the home of Hannah Katzer, 77, and her husband, Rami. He was murdered during the October 7th attack by Palestinian Hamas terrorists, killed in the house's safe room. His remains could not be identified until weeks later. Hannah is a hostage in Gaza, though she relies on a walker and a wheelchair. She was forced to appear in a propaganda video released by Palestinian Islamic Jihad, another terrorist group. Update: just hours after this article was published, Chalna Katzer was unofficially reported to have died in captivity. On November 24, Katzer was reported among the 13 hostages released by Hamas. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad, a separate terror group in Gaza that is also holding dozens of Israeli hostages, was reportedly the source of the erroneous news of her death. The dueling reports highlight the precarious and cruel position in which Hamas and other terror groups have placed the hostages and their families. Breitbart News joined a media tour organized by Israelis and Media Central, the same groups that organized a mission to Eilat last week to visit the families of Kibbutz Neir Oz, who are evacuated to a hotel in the aftermath of the attack. Neir Oz, founded in 1955. Means furrow of strength. On October 7, it was the front line in a battle of armed terrorists against largely unarmed civilians. This is the place they left behind, an idyllic collective farm, with a world-famous botanical garden at its center, and a society organized along the old socialist ideals. Everyone pitched in to help with the farm work, everyone donated a third of his or her salary to the collective, and everyone shared in each other's lives. Everywhere, there are still signs of life, and especially children, suddenly, brutally interrupted. Toys lay scattered on the ground near many houses. A Minnie Mouse bicycle sits in the grass, half melted from the heat of the fire that consumed the family home nearby. Several homes still have sukkahs, the traditional tents erected during the holiday of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, in various stages of destruction. October 7th was the last day of the holiday, but the residents never had a chance to dismantle their tents. Many were peace activists, who volunteered to help Palestinians from Gaza, just 1.6 kilometers away, when they needed transportation from the border crossing to hospital facilities located in Israel. The attack shattered hope for coexistence, and it turned a paradise into the eighth level of hell, in the words of one resident. Almost no community in Israel suffered more than Neir Oz. As Breitbart News noted last week, one-fourth of the roughly 400 residents of the kibbutz were murdered, or kidnapped. Neir Oz residents account for about a third of all hostages taken to Gaza. The area is still a closed military zone. While the journalists visited the kibbutz, there was a rocket attack launched from the vicinity of Khan Yunis, in the southern Gaza Strip to the west, where the Israeli military has not yet focused its efforts. As the group took cover in a bomb shelter, the Iron Dome boomed overhead, intercepting the rockets, restoring a sense of calm. PNGSRC equals. Data MACA resize equals false data MACA placeholder equals 1 alt equals data MACA SRC equals data MACA style equals background. Linear gradient RGBA 0, 0, 0, 0.65, RGBA 0, 0, 0, 0.65, URL. Some residents were making their first visits back to the kibbutz in more than 6 weeks. Talma Atsili, 78, told Breitbart News that she survived by hiding under her bed as Palestinian terrorists ransacked her house. Her home is still standing. But her son, Aviv Atsili, and her daughter-in-law, Lian Bianin, are hostages. I would give anything to see them again, she said. She hopes the community will return. She has lived in the kibbutz for 58 years, ever since completing her military service in the mid-1960s. This is my room, she says of her house. The whole kibbutz is my home. But she knows it will be difficult, after so much loss. Down the street lived Carmela Dan. Her 13-year-old granddaughter, Noya, was visiting on October 7. They hid in the safe room during the attack, the bloodstains on the floor, near a stuffed animal in a baby crib, testified to the horror they endured. They were taken away by Hamas, but were later found dead. The home itself was burned and is unsalvageable, like 50% of the others. Irit Mahav, 57, who spoke with journalists in Eilat, returned to the kibbutz for the third time to guide the media around, together with fellow survivors Ron Bahat, Aaron Smilinski, and Benny Alvidal. Smilinski recalled hiding in the safe room in his family while a Hamas-aligned journalist broadcast live from the kibbutz, evidently having known in advance that Hamas intended to attack. This was actually kibbutz near Oz. Joel Polak, at Joel Polak, November 21, 2023. Avidil, a member of the kibbutz's first response team, described the challenge of trying to keep the children of the kibbutz safe during the attack. He, like others, sent goodbye messages to friends once he realized the chances of survival were slim. His brother was killed, his own children survived. When the terrorists finally left and he emerged from his family's safe room, after more than 6 hours, he was stunned by the eerie silence. Coming back was harder than he thought it would be. He says, he had been numb during the attack and in the days that followed. But now he finally had to face everything that he and Niraz had lost. Lahav reiterated heartbroken feelings about peace with her Palestinian neighbors in Gaza, which she had also shared with journalists in Eilat. We thought there was a partner on the other side. No. They want to kill, they were proud, she recalled. Lahav took reporters to the kibbutz's communal dining hall, an important gathering space. In her previous visits to the kibbutz, it was the one place she could not bring herself to enter. This time, after shedding some tears, she made it through the doors, riddled with bullets. Inside, the dining hall had been converted into a memorial for the dead and a monument to the hostages and those still missing, with a poster of each individual set at each chair at every table, along with memorial candles. Inside the adjacent mail room, the mailboxes of those murdered were marked with a red label. The mailboxes of the hostages were marked in black. Through the dining hall's kitchen, destroyed by fire during the attack, just months after being renovated, the smell of death lingered. The army used the refrigerators in back to store the bodies of the dead until they could be buried. Even more than 6 weeks later, the bloodstains remained on the floor, and flies buzzed through the putrid air in the storage room. Some distance away, the dormitory for the farm's Thai farm workers, recruited on contracts lasting several years, to help the residents of the kibbutz manage the workload, was a chaotic mess, the likely result of a tough struggle against the terrorists. In the end, 3 survived. But 5 were kidnapped, and 9 were murdered in cold blood nearby, in a concrete safe room. Other foreign workers endured the attack, some survived, but agriculture student Clemens Felix Mtenga, 22, died in Hamas custody. In the fields they once tended, many crops have been left to rot. The kibbutz could not finish harvesting its peanuts, nor could it bring in its renowned pomegranates, aside from the few that residents managed to pick during visits to their homes. Niraz could not even sow its winter wheat, because the kibbutz's tractors had been stolen by Palestinian looters during the attack. But thanks to the efforts of the military's Home Front Command, and an army of private volunteers, there is hope for the avocado crop. Major Nir Bombs and Lieutenant Gali Dror told reporters that the Israel Defense Forces, IDF, had undertaken a civilian mission as well as a military one in the ongoing conflict, to help residents recover lost property and pets, and to help save the harvest in the Gaza envelope region hit by the terrorists, which accounts for 60% of Israel's fruit and vegetable production annually. As they spoke, several dozen volunteers, some members of the kibbutz, some from elsewhere in the country, loaded large avocados into crates and drove the crates away in tractors, each vehicle loaned to the kibbutz by neighboring communities. One of the volunteers is Irit Lahav's staffer, Lotus. They survived the October 7 attack in their home safe room by jamming an oar against the heavy door. Terrorists returned 5 times to the house but never succeeded in dragging them out, nor did they set the house on fire. "We made our peace with death," Lotus recalled. As if on cue, a streak appeared in the sky, a missile from the Iron Dome missile battery, flying east to west to intercept another Palestinian rocket, launched at another community nearby. PM guess RC equals. Data MACA resize equals false data MACA placeholder equals 1 alt equals data MACA SRC equals data MACA style equals background. Linear gradient RGBA 0, 0, 0, 0.65, RGBA 0, 0, 0, 0.65, URL. These are the dangers that volunteers endure to bring in the harvest, and to keep the hopes of Niroz alive. What was once a strong furrow may yet be a strong foundation for the new life that is to come. For a new, stronger Israel that is yet to be. Joel B. Polak is senior editor-at-large at Breitbart News and the host of Breitbart News Sunday on Sirius XM Patriot on Sunday evenings from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. ET, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. PT. He is the author of the new biography, Rhoda, Comrade Caudalie, You Are Out of Order. He is also the author of the recent e-book, Neither Free Nor Fair, the 2020 U.S. Presidential Election. He is a winner of the 2018 Robert Novak Journalism Alumni Fellowship. Follow him on Twitter at Joel Polak. This post has been updated to correct the identity of the residents of the home depicted in the lead photograph, and also to update the news about Hannah Katzer, who was erroneously reported in the media to have died in Gaza, but was released.